Hello and welcome to another San Diego Political Podcast from BullyZest.com with me, Matt Bowler. This time I flew solo. Rick Epps was a little under the weather. And this time around, I asked myself, what San Diego political issue is both under-talked about and very important, particularly in our mayor's race? The answer for me, at least, was the Barrio Logan zoning regulations. Now, before you yawn, think about it from this perspective. While at first blush, Barrio Logan zoning regulations don't seem that exciting. However, zoning rules determine what you can do with your land, what businesses are allowed in that community, and even how many people are allowed to live within a certain area. So zoning rules have a very important, very direct impact on all of our lives. Business cares dramatically about zoning. Barrio Logan is a community that was created when the 5 freeway was built. Didn't exist before that. If you wanted to get to the border, you basically took the PCH all the way down. The 5 freeway bisected Logan Heights, and under much protest, you know, from the community members, the freeway went through. Then the Coronado Bridge was built, sparked even more protest because the community members in Barrio Logan and Logan Heights were promised a park. Then they were going to make that entire section west of the 5 industrial only. Then there were lots of protests, which eventually led to the creation of Chicano Park. And people still continued to live there, even though businesses started to pop up. Heavy industry popped up. Now, the community in Barrio Logan, the people that live there, want to rezone. They want to create industrial free zones and zones just for industrial use. So there's a lot of industry in Barrio Logan, a lot of heavy industry, a lot of heavy polluting industries, a lot of dangerous industries in Barrio Logan. You know, the most notable is the maritime industry. They pay a lot in taxes. They employ a lot of people, and they're very important to the city outside of the barrio. So the maritime industries, while they are in Barrio Logan, they matter in Mira Mesa. They matter in Golden Hill. They matter in Claremont. They matter in Rancho Bernardo. But they are based, they operate in Barrio Logan. So this issue is making its way into our mayoral election in some very interesting ways. You could even make the argument that there's a heavy racial component in these zoning rules. I mean, why aren't we putting these maritime industries, these heavy polluting, these very dangerous businesses that we need, why don't we put them in La Jolla? Why don't we put them someplace else in San Diego? Why do they have to stay in Barrio Logan? Those are legitimate questions. Why don't they move to Coronado? That's a legitimate question. You could easily have those businesses work in other parts of the community. Now, those are legitimate questions. So Barrio Logan, born fighting, is the name of this podcast. Because they were born fighting. Barrio Logan wouldn't exist if the community there hadn't protested and forced its creation. So people there don't back down easily. It's part of that neighborhood's culture. They're very, They are very strong and determined. So, this time, I sat down with Georgette Gomez from the Environmental Health Coalition. She's a Barrio Logan native, and she had a lot of very interesting things to say about her almost decade-long fight to make these changes to the Barrio Logan zoning rules. And apparently, according to Georgette, these rules hadn't been updated since 1978. Whereas almost every other community in San Diego had had them updated at least every 5 to 10 years. Agree or not, you have to respect her zeal and her commitment to that community where she comes from. So, of course, I am sure this is going to spark, and hopefully spark, many to debate, and hopefully encourage many of you to hop on your political soapbox. If you want to hop on your soapbox, you can do that by hopping on ours. Go to Political Podcast Soapbox. Call us 619-663-4531. 619-663-4531. Now, for the Bullets Nest Political Podcast. Okay, Georgia Gomez, Environmental Health Coalition.
What are we doing?
What are you angry about?
Yeah. Well, Environmental Health Coalition has been working here for quite a while, over a decade, if not more. And the reason being was that we identified Barrio Logan as being one of the hot spots, meaning that the reason being that they're called hot spots is because there's a lot of industrial surrounding in the community, around the community, and that impacts people's health. It impacts the quality of life. So we started looking deeper of why. I mean, you can see some of those businesses, but we started looking at why is it that that's happening inside the community. So it turns out that the community plan that dictates how communities developed over time, how the land gets utilized, is it a school, is it a park, is it residential, is it commercial residential, is
zoning.
It industrial? Right.
Zoning rules.
Zoning.
Yeah.
We didn't really have a zoning per se in the community because it allowed for anything. If you're an industrial right in front of the school, you can come in. Or if you're a property wanting to develop right in front of multifamily homes, but it happens to be industrial, you can come in. So we had to fix that. For many, many years, we brought it to the city council's attention. They really didn't want to update the community plan. There was always excuses. So in 2007, we identified money for the city. We gave a little bit of pressure on the city. You got to update this community plan, one of the oldest plans of existence within all the community plans.
Barrio Logan's one of the oldest neighborhoods in San Diego, right?
One of the oldest neighborhoods, one of the oldest plans. It hasn't gotten updated since 1978. Normally, they get updated 10 to 15 years because it's supposed to reflect the growth and the need, right? Economics.
Kind of how the community is changing.
Right.
What was the change they made in 78?
In 78, it was basically just underlying the zoning. And the zoning, basically, like I said, it was incompatible mixing.
Okay.
Normally, you would do something different. It changed from being residential and commercial, but mainly residential, to residential, commercial, industrial.
Yeah,
That's what happened in 78.
So they changed it. They included the industrial
that was
in 78.
Yes. So that's what happened then. Mm-hmm. So we kept pushing. Never happened. A new update. Moving forward, 2007, we get the money. We get the commitment from city council. 2008, we start the community planning process.
Yeah.
2008, that's 5 years ago. So ever since then, I've been involved amongst many other people were involved. The city created the stakeholder committee made up of, I can't remember the number, over 20 people were a member. Representation from residents, owners, renters, organizations, business people, maritime people, everybody that you can think of, nonprofits, were part of that decision voting table. So we met, we had over 50 meetings that the city had in regards to how the community was going to develop. So we did all of that. We created how the community should move forward for the future. We basically, the main goal was really to figure out how are we addressing the incompatible zoning and where are we placing all the pressures, all the uses that are important to have in the community. Industrial, commercial, residential, and open space and things like that, right? So we did that. We had a lot of conversations. Some of them weren't good conversations. Some of them were amazing conversations. We were able to create a plan that addressed everything. It gave an increase in prime industrial, but it was away from the residential.
It's the Port Business Association. What are they called?
It's
again?
The Port Business Association.
And those are the guys sort of on the other side of this issue that are trying to block the new urban planning mm-hmm. that you put in there.
Yeah.
You were saying that they were part of the process from the get-go.
Yeah.
They were in the room for 5 years with you helping to create this new urban mm-hmm. plan. And now you created this buffer zone between the heavy industrial mm-hmm. use and the residential use.
Yes.
Where is that buffer zone exactly?
So the buffer zone is on Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
It's the block closest to the trolley.
Okay.
That whole area from 16...
Now, what does buffer zone mean?
So a buffer zone is supposed to be this wall. If you can imagine, a wall that would basically put a stop to encroachment or to impacts, negative impacts. What I mean by encroachment was that the Maritime said residential encroachment is a threat. It's a negative impact.
So in that area along the trolley
from 16th all the way to like 32nd.
All the way to 32nd
mm-hmm.
Street.
It's all the way.
From Main Street and then west, essentially, there will be no residential there.
There's no residential there. In addition to, it's on the block.
How
on
big
the,
is that?
It's
16th Street goes on. That's almost all the way in downtown. I mean, that's like gets close to you. Just
we are three blocks from here.
Okay,
3 or 4 blocks from here.
But 32nd Street is
where the military is.
Yeah, so that's 15, mm-hmm. almost 15 blocks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, kind
of. So that's got to be
kind of. It's actually like 9 blocks.
Oh, they're San Diego blocks.
Right.
Right. San Diego blocks are a third smaller.
Right.
Are smaller than
mm-hmm.
than regular city mm-hmm. blocks. Yeah, because of
right.
Horton.
Right.
Yeah.
So we have that.
Yeah.
In addition to that, we have
That's a big chunk. And that goes all the way west.
Yes.
To the ocean.
Yeah.
Okay. And then that's like actually more than what they had in the old plan.
Mm-hmm.
So this gives them more of a buffer zone.
We even increased it, actually. The buffer doesn't stop there.
Yeah.
So part of on the other side of... So that is, if you're following on Main Street, is the west side of Main Street. And then we also incorporated a little bit of the east side of Main Street from Evans
uh-huh.
all the way south as well.
Oh, wow.
We incorporated that to be the buffer. That was the addition that happened during council.
So it's almost as though most of Barrio Logan west of the 5
mm-hmm.
is going to be either buffer or heavy industrial?
No, Barrio Logan is west of the 5.
Well, the whole Barrio Logan.
But
you're talking about 16th Street's right there.
Yeah.
Right? And where we're sitting, I look to my right.
So we don't have a lot of space. It's not a big area,
yeah.
right? So this is why when we were having this discussion, they were at the very end. There's a lot of studies that imply that 1,000 feet is a good distance for protecting residents from industrial or from freeways, right? As you can see, as you were saying, we don't really have 1,000 feet. We have 1,000 feet, but that's the entire community.
Yeah.
So we couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Although we support that idea in the theory, the way that this community was made up, we don't have the luxury to do that. So we were trying to make the best out of all of this, right?
Yeah.
So that's why we selected Main Street as, okay, this will be the buffer. Is it a good buffer? Probably not. But it was what we could do.
Yeah.
It was to ensure that the Maritime is protected by not allowing residential, a conversation that they didn't participate in. It was Environmental Health Coalition leading and facilitating with the residents to say, this is good because of this.
So this is you're saying this is what the people of Barrio Logan want.
This is what the people of Barrio Logan proposed as a solution. It wasn't what they wanted. Right.
So this is their compromise.
Exactly. But in the spirit of compromising, in the spirit of trying to make everything fit and work, we agreed to remove the residential from that area.
Where do people live then? Because that feels like there's maybe, I don't know.
So you go
to the 5 and you kind of go west, maybe 3 blocks,
yeah.
and that's it?
Mm-hmm.
And that little strip is where people can live now, according to this plan?
No, what we have now is, in the future, you have Logan Heights, Logan Avenue,
yeah.
you have National, and you have Newton still.
Okay.
All of that. So those 3 main corridors that residential, commercial will be coming in.
Okay.
So yeah. So that was a big thing, right? And like I said, they didn't although they were asking for it, and at the end of the day, we were able to, when we came to the table of what, how do we want to see that area, we were right from the beginning agreed residential should be removed, because that's what we all agreed upon, even themselves, right? Even the working waterfront. The other piece that we also agreed upon was that there wasn't going to be any businesses that will impact the health of the community, meaning no industrial. We agreed upon that too. They went back on their word, right? Because now that's the area that has become the controversial area, because now they're saying they want these quote unquote suppliers, and mind you, those are not suppliers, they're industrial uses. They want them to be protected, and in fact, they want them to allow new suppliers, quote unquote, to be allowed to come in by right, right? So that's where we differ, and that's where we say no. The buffer was supposed to be the protection zone for everybody, for the residentials, for the residents, as well as for the working waterfront. And we're going to continue fighting for it.
Now, they were able to, in their controversial petition bid, gather a lot of signatures. Were they doing that kind of thing down in Barrio Logan? Did you see them down here gathering signatures?
I didn't see any petition. In fact, I haven't experienced any petitioners myself anywhere. Yeah. I tried. I went and to a couple grocery stores, but I didn't get an opportunity.
So they're not like down here in front of the North Gate?
No, they're not. They're not over here in Barrio Logan. I heard towards the end, on the second petition, actually a week before they were supposed to submit them, which was like a week ago or so, they started placing themselves on in Sherman area, but that was the closest that I heard that they were in.
Why don't you think they're coming to Barrio Logan?
Because they know people here know the truth. So they wouldn't get a positive reception. And plus, I mean, we, Environmental Health Coalition, decided to challenge the validity of the signature gathering, as well as even the validity of the referendum. We truly believe that there's a election code, and the election code says that the folks that are seeking signatures can't lie. They're just supposed to present the truth, the facts, right? So we have it documented pretty substantially of the signature gatherers using lies, such as, you know, condos are going to be built on the working waterfront property. That is untrue. The community plan doesn't even cover.
Now, do you think that that's more ineptitude as opposed to maliciousness? In that, I mean, these are paid signature gatherers, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they get money for every signature they get, and they're going to say what they think they need to say in order for people to get, for people to sign it.
Right.
It's not like they're. It doesn't. I'm not saying it validates them, but I'm saying it's not like there was some sort of conspiracy where they got these guys together and said, "Hey, tell people this, even though it's untrue."
Mm-hmm.
Or maybe
we actually do believe that the direction that we're given, the information that they were given, was that information. I mean, I do agree that the signature.
So they were told something from when they were hired that
this is
what you say to people,
yes.
And that this is untrue.
Mm-hmm. In fact, one of the
people that told them this knew it was untrue.
Right. Yeah. And that's why we're questioning the actual validity of it. That's the information. We're not criticizing the signature gatherers. We get it. I mean, they're doing it because they want that pay. I mean, this is the lowest of the lowest types of jobs, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So, unfortunately, if you really look at this situation, is we're talking about a very low-income community, historically neglected, historically dumped on, because it's made up by people that normally don't matter. Right, to certain people they matter to us, and now we're talking about a process that it's a democratic process that people have the right to challenge certain things via referendum. You utilize the poorest of the poorest to do your bidding to gather those signatures. You give them information that is wrong. So now one of the things that we're being told that we should go after the signature gatherers, don't go after the people that hire them, or don't go after the people that initiated the referendum, even though they were the ones that gave the information to the signature gatherers. We have that documented. We're going to be doing some discovery in terms of what type of training did they get, or what information were they given. The signature gatherers most of them don't even know where Barrio Logan is. Yeah. Most of them don't even know where the shipyards are. So why would they come up with a argument that condos are going to be built on top of the shipyards? They didn't make that up. It came from someone that is knowledgeable about this process, about what was going on, and someone that is knowledgeable enough to say, this is what will get people to sign. You say that these jobs are going to be lost, and this is why people will sign, and that's the process that they decided to do.
Yeah, it's interesting how this one issue has been able to wedge itself into the mayor's race.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting because when you think about it, you know, you think Faulkner is siding with the maritime businesses,
mm-hmm.
and trying to make it into a jobs issue.
Right.
And Alvarez is actually, from what I've been seeing lately, actually been kind of standoffish about this whole issue,
mm-hmm.
in general. You know, this is his community as
mm-hmm.
well,
mm-hmm.
but he's running for mayor, and mm-hmm. he has to reach north of the 8.
Mm-hmm.
Did you ever think that this issue would become this? It turns into kind of a racial issue
mm-hmm.
at the end of the day. Would turn into this kind of bigger racial issue and kind of be able to grab the stage in this way?
I didn't, and I did. I knew that.
I mean, you had to feel that was kind of the case.
Right.
Right.
And because of where we are now, because we are
in the history of Barrio Logan, how
right.
it was created.
Right. And the fact that we were going through a community plan update, mind you, 35 years later.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there wasn't an elected representative that wanted to bring the process forward. Anybody that you speak with in terms of government, they get that there's negative issues here. But
yeah.
because the issues are controversial, or there are issues that would make certain people, a certain sector that happens to be very wealthy, angry, then that's why it took 35 years to get to this discussion. So we knew that, I personally knew that when we were going to get to the finale, if we ever had a finale, it wasn't going to be the final thing. It wasn't, because there are certain sectors, such as, you know, the shipyards are now General Dynamics, that want to continue oppressing the community by trying to push these types of uses, not giving any consideration to the people that live in the community. So for them, it's about proving their power. It's got nothing to do with the issues, to tell you the truth, because like I said, if you look at the community plan, we ended up increasing the heavy industrial acreage than what the old one had. So that was a conversation that, once again, I had to facilitate with the residents to say, this is why.
Do you feel like Alvarez was pushing hard enough for you in city council
on
this
definitely.
Issue?
Definitely, yes. No doubt about it. I mean, we were stuck for about a year and a half
mm-hmm.
at city council, because previous administration, during Sanders, we ended up hitting a huge bump. We couldn't go anywhere, to the point where if it would have dragged longer, we would have been done. There wouldn't have been a community plan update. So he pushed very hard, and the reason we had the conversations a few months ago at City Hall, at City Council, was because of David's leadership.
Mm-hmm.
So, and
but now that he's in a campaign, a
uh-huh.
short campaign
uh-huh.
for mayor, do you feel like he's as aggressive as he could
Most
be
definitely.
For this?
I mean, he just wrote an editorial at the UT, for what it's worth, saying we're going to protect the community plan. I stand behind it. It's a good plan. It makes room for everybody. We're not going to lose a single job attached to the working waterfront. They're lying. So he's definitely there. He's supporting our lawsuit. He's working hard at City Hall, because they're going to have to make, City Council is going to have to make a decision pretty soon. Do they take it back?
Do they make this decision before or after the election? Do you know?
They will be making this decision, I believe, December 17th.
Okay, so it's well before.
It will be before, right.
No, because Alvarez has to, well, Faulkner has to reach south of the 8 now, mm-hmm. right? And Alvarez won every district south of the 8, mm-hmm. except for one, I think, and then Faulkner won every district north of the 8, except for one, and those mm-hmm. two each went to Fletcher.
Mm-hmm.
Now, each of those candidates have to kind of reach across the aisle in a way to reach down there. It's pretty amazing to see that division, and I've had this conversation with David where he says it's, oh, well, really the 94 mm-hmm. is the dividing line. Do you think that this issue, if Alvarez was to point out the racial component, that mm-hmm. would have a negative impact on his campaign?
I think based on,
you know, would the people, would old white women north of the, in Rancho Bernardo or, you know
surprisingly, what we're facing with now in terms of, let's forget about the issues. Let's talk about the significance of having a community plan update. It's not an easy thing to create, first of all. I mean, you can talk to city planners and they'll tell you they're difficult no matter in what community you're speaking to, right? There's always people that have certain issues. We're talking about height, we're talking about whatever it is. There's always an issue that makes it difficult to come up with a community plan update, right? So what we're dealing with now is that we were able to navigate through those difficult conversations, come up with a plan that we can all live with, at least at that time, and then for whatever reason, because the arguments that they're saying that this plan is going to do, those are lies. It won't happen. We won't lose any jobs at the working waterfront. There's a powerful entity that has a lot of money trying to now say, oh, we don't like it because it's going to do X, Y, and Z. All those X, Y, and Z's are lies, but we just don't like it, right? So now what we're seeing is that there's an entity that is pretty powerful and has got a lot of money trying to dictate what happens in community plans. Once again, forget about the issues, mm-hmm. but they're trying to dictate how community plans should be handled. One of the main things that city government does and has is planning. That's mm-hmm. kind of like their core, right? So this is about that as well. And it has nothing to do with it.
So this is about who's going to run City Hall?
Yeah, really it is. Because here's the most basic thing that city government does, planning. Mm-hmm. Here's an entity, they spend a lot of money in trying to come up with this plan, City Hall. 5 years in the making, difficult conversations, City Hall committed to it, we saw the end, and here's an entity. Not happy. Mind you, they were at the table, they're just not happy. Mm-hmm. And what they're saying that it's going to do, not true. So they're trying to control, they're trying to flex their muscle to say no, that we're going to have it our way. No matter what, we're going to have it our way. So this is also about that.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I think people are getting that. People outside of Barrio Logan, people outside of South of 8, people in the north are reacting to that in a very, they don't agree with how they're posturing and what they're trying to do in this community, but also just trying to dictate and how planning overall is going to happen and who's going to do it. So there are people.
So
that
you don't
are,
think Faulkner's argument that this will hurt, this is a jobs issue, this is going to hurt jobs, is going to hold any water with any of the people north of the 8?
Probably some. I'm not saying obviously yes, but there's...
It won't hold with enough people for him to win.
I don't think so, because it's lies. Mind you, for somebody that is using this as a point to make himself stand up that he's for jobs, when this plan doesn't create any. In fact, we're increasing, the projection of increasing jobs is more than what we had before in the new plan. So how can you go from, we have a study that says, that concludes, there will be an increase of jobs within the community plan, okay? And then for somebody to say that it's going to lose jobs with no clear argument, it just speaks to somebody that is willing to say just about anything to get elected. And forget about the people that work really hard. Forget about the community that has been a host for many different things that nobody wants in their community. And they've, you know, came up to say, hey, enough is enough. Let's do this. We can do better. And we were able to do better. But unfortunately, here's somebody, Kevin Faulkner, saying, no, you're not doing good enough. You're going to stay within the status quo, even possibly be worse, because that's what the other side wants. And that's the type of leadership he's showing. So I think people are going to see that eventually, that we don't want that.
Do you feel like Barry Logan is targeted in this sense? Do you feel like they're, because it's a traditionally underserved community, that it's easier to underserve, mm-hmm. continue that?
Oh, for sure. I mean, definitely. I mean, there was, like,
because the way they were saying it is that the new plan, you want to make all of Barrio Logan residential only with, you know, some retail zoning.
That's not true. I mean, that's the thing. This is where, you know, where you see politics at its worst.
Do you think it's easier for them to get their information out? To get their point
across? Well, for sure, because they own the media. They own all the platforms. So most definitely, do we have an uphill battle to spread our message? Yes, but we're committed to it. And as we're sitting in Chicano Park, I mean,
a chilly Chicano Park.
In a very chilly, very loud Chicano Park. I mean, this is historical. This is the makeup of how people come together. If you believe in something that is right, people come together and they're willing to give their lives.
So you're from here, and you've had the chance to see Barrio Logan grow and change, mm-hmm. over the past years. Is this kind of a coming of age fight in a lot of ways?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, it is and it isn't, because mm-hmm. for me, I see this fight as a continuation of what the history has been in this community, in Barrio Logan. Because we got to remember that before there was a Barrio Logan, there was a Logan Heights. A Logan Heights that didn't have these pillars, right? That didn't have the working waterfront. It was a community, a working class community that helped shape San Diego to be what it is now, right? The people that were building downtown, the people that we're building many of our North of 8 communities lived in this community and continue to live in this community now. So fast forward, 50s, we get I-5, 50s, 60s, we get I-5, gutting the community through the heart of the community, making, birthing, I guess, Barrio Logan. So then soon after, we get the Coronado Bridge. If you really look at how, I mean, you know, how that whole discussion or lack of discussion, because there wasn't any discussion at the community level in terms of design or in terms of how do we make this work. If we need the bridge, how do we make it work? Mm-hmm. They come in, and then soon after we have the discussion about what are we going to do with this land that we're sitting on right now, right? There was a community discussion. There were promises by city government that it will be a park. Soon after, they change their minds. They want to do a police station. The community gets together and they fight it. I think that's the history that people that make this community, the demographics, you know, being a working class, they're used to having to not have it easy. So this is a continuation of that pattern of, you know, now fighting for a better development of the community that will create a safer, a healthier, hopefully, environment for the people to live and flourish. So to me, I just see it as a continuation of all of that.
What was the do you have any idea what the voter turnout was for this special election?
I want to say that it was
32-ish,
something like that. Mm-hmm.
You know what it was down here in Barrio Logan, Logan Heights?
I think that was pretty good. I couldn't tell you the percentage, but it was a pretty good turnout. Can we increase it? Yes.
Yeah. Do you think this is going to be one of those issues that is well known enough to bring people out,
I think so. But I think more importantly, I think the fact that we have somebody in the running that comes from an environment that is pretty similar to a pretty good chunk of the population that makes San Diego, that's pretty significant. And having somebody that has lived the injustices that comes from the working class matters to people. And I think David connects to all of that, to those situations. It doesn't come from a book. It comes from life experiences. So I think that's more critical, having somebody like that in that opportunity. So you just have to get the voice out and the message out.
I just wonder, because a lot of times I talk to people and they seem to be kind of oblivious in a lot of ways,
mm-hmm.
about what this issue is.
Yeah.
So how can you kind of communicate that, your point? Because it seems like your opposition has, even though you know it may be untrue, mm-hmm. you know, you say it's untrue, but they are getting their message mm-hmm. out there in a lot of very effective ways,
mm-hmm.
And I feel like sometimes what you're trying to say is a little bit more nuanced.
Right.
How do you communicate those nuances, you know, and kind of bring it home to people, and still keep them interested and involved and enthusiastic, you know?
Right. No, I think that's definitely the challenge that we have. I mean, you're asking a really good question, because we're talking about things that, you know, if you don't understand them to the level that I understand them, it doesn't matter, right?
It's confusing, because you say buffer zone, you know, this
right,
block to this block, this block, how big is that?
Right.
What does that mean? Where does this neighborhood begin? Where does it end?
Right.
A lot of people don't understand that. They
right.
think Barrio Logan Heights. They
mm-hmm.
think that's kind of one.
Right. So
you know,
one of the things that we're trying to do is we're trying to bring... we have these tours that we call them Barrio Life tours. We actually just did one this Friday. And we're trying to bring as much people to the community to really talk about the issues, to explain this is what this is, because you read it, it doesn't...
Are they like bus tours?
Yeah.
Putting people on a bus
yeah.
and giving them a tour?
Uh-huh.
Like you would tour the Coronado Bay, but
yeah.
in Barrio Logan?
Yeah.
This
Definitely.
Is where...
This is what
this is
all about.
This is the famous Porky's.
Yeah. Porkyland.
Porkyland.
Yes. Yes. Yeah, no, definitely. Because if you don't see it, it doesn't click.
I've never heard of these.
Yeah.
How often are you doing these tours?
Well, we're starting to do. We started last year, probably like 2 years ago, more intentional.
Yeah.
We've always done them, but it was for other purposes. Now they're more about trying to expose people to the issue. And show them what we're talking about,
mm-hmm.
because I mean, yeah, an article is not going to, it's not.
I mean,
going
that's the sad thing.
That.
It's like, you know, an editorial or an article.
You won't
I mean,
get,
a lot of times
mm-hmm.
those are they're echo chambers,
mm-hmm.
you know.
Mm-hmm.
And people, in despite of facts, have opinions.
Right. Right.
It doesn't matter what the facts are.
Oh yeah. Even, I mean, after you bring people here, they still want to argue as to, well, you
Do you
know.
Think that people who aren't from Barrio Logan or don't have an exposure to it, just, I don't know, by virtue of being from San Diego, but people who are raised in other neighborhoods, other communities, do you think that they won't come here now? Do you think they're still afraid of coming here? Because there's, you know, in the 80s and 90s, it was rough.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this was a rough part of town, but things
yeah.
have definitely... Definitely,
definitely
cleaned up and
cleaned
mellowed
up.
Out and
I
changed
never,
over
I never
the years.
Saw the community as being rough.
Well, you never do when you live here,
when
right?
When you're
yeah.
in it, yeah. it's not,
yeah.
right?
I know,
I think there was also a perception, intentional perception by media to make it look rough. I'm not arguing that didn't exist, definitely, mm-hmm. but I think that goes into how, you know, the more distance you have, I mean, the wall, if you create a wall and people aren't coming, then it makes it easy to be dumping in the community, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's part of, like, the
intentional
mind control.
This was sort of southeast-ish San Diego. That was that community back in those days, before a lot of the George Stevens neighborhoods started popping up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
This kind of fell into that kind of shell town, Logan. Those communities, and those were always They just have more poor people.
Mm-hmm.
They have more crime because of that.
Right.
But getting people in Claremont, in Pacific Beach, in Mira Mesa, in Tierra Santa, to see this as a different community, I think seems like a bigger challenge in a way. Because this is the freeway you drive over on your way to Chula Vista, to East Lake, or someplace like that, right?
Yeah, no, I definitely think that understanding of how people see these communities is true. I think it's been changing.
Mm-hmm.
I think the past three years or so, the who is coming to the community and how people see these communities, definitely the message is changing.
Do you worry about gentrification driving a lot of people out?
Most definitely. I mean, that's the other piece that we have to fight against. We want to, and part of the discussion during the community plan update is wanting to ensure that the people that have been living here aren't getting pushed out, because now we're having all this amazing development. So we've been, part of what I do as well, aside from working in community plan updates, is influencing what comes to the community. Right behind us, right next to us, we have a new development. At one point, it took 20 years, the Estrella del Barrio project, to come in, but through those 20 years, we had the threat of that housing being market rate. So we had to organize against it. Now we have a awesome housing development that is all affordable housing. And we have had three other affordable housing developments that have come in here. So we're always constantly playing or influencing different things that impact the community. We want to lift up the community, for sure. We want to create a healthy, safe place, but we want to do it in a way that it won't displace people. So,
because then what do you do, right?
Then what do you do,
right?
And planning has that threat.
Yeah, you can easily plan people out of their community.
Downtown, perfect example.
Yeah.
Right?
I'm always complaining about that. Now, one of my big complaints is always that it's either super, super rich.
Mm-hmm.
Or there's one or two buildings there that are for the super poor.
Right, right.
Nothing for anybody that, works for a living.
Right.
That's always been my complaint.
No, definitely. I mean, to me, my biggest complaint is that we don't own the land, right? That it's dependent on developers, that it's dependent on...
Yeah, they get the land for free, and then they finance the land to build the building.
Right,
yeah.
And then it becomes very difficult.
Yeah,
it's always the details are, the devil is in the details, as people say, but we gotta believe that this community, just like any other community, deserves a healthy place, period. We gotta start from there. How it evolves and what happens, that's another chapter, right, that we gotta be influencing in. We're in both places.
Is there anything else you want to add? I think that's a good point spot to end.
Yeah, well, I just want to say that the fight here has never been about... I mean, this is the other piece that irritates me, is it's the framing has been the residents versus economic development. That's the framing that the other side created. I've never saw it like that. And even the community plan update that we have, this new one that we're trying
to
defend...
But even that seems kind of... If that's the case,
mm-hmm.
Let's just take that as mm-hmm. as just fact. If it's a residents versus economic development thing,
mm-hmm.
and neighborhoods first is a platform mm-hmm. in both candidates' campaigns,
mm-hmm.
then there really shouldn't be a question, because this is Barrio Logan. The residents of Barrio Logan want their community to be a certain way, right. Why shouldn't it be able to be that way?
Right. I mean, that's a great question. I mean, and I do believe that, you know, we were able to influence the process the city government has, right, within the community plan update. We played a fair game.
How long have you been involved in an activist in San Diego?
I started in junior high with certain things.
Oh, yeah.
It got increased in college years.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been quite a while already.
Been a while?
Yeah.
Is this your biggest fight that you've done?
This is...
Or your longest term?
No.
No, what's your biggest fight?
My biggest fight, I want to say that, I don't know, I mean, in college, I was running a student group, and we were fighting a radiation waste landfill. We partnered with some people up in Nevada that they were heading the fight. We just supported it, but to me, that was pretty significant.
Where'd you go to college?
San Diego State.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Stayed around
good,
here
good,
quite
good
a
Aztecs,
bit.
Yeah.
Yes. Go Aztecs. Yeah. you know, it really comes. It comes from. I mean, this is my. I went to school at San Diego State, but this is my education.
Mm.
You know, this is what gave me the belief and the energy, I guess, in believing that no matter what your economic background is, you deserve dignity. You deserve, you know, representation at City Hall. You deserve a healthy place to live.
So what are your long-term goals now? Alvarez becomes mayor.
Alvarez becomes mayor.
Is the seat open?
Yeah, right. Well, I am not. I want to clarify that. Although I was born in Barilogan, I lived in Barilogan. I haven't lived here for the past 6-7 years.
Yeah, yeah.
I moved to City Heights.
Yeah, but you could move back.
I could move back, but I'm not going to do that. I have a lot of heart for these communities.
Mm.
And I will support and I will always fight for a better quality of life, no matter what issue it is. And if it's a good candidate, I'm willing to support. I mean, David Alvarez ran for the first time in 2010. I was a huge supporter of him because I knew him. I knew what he's done and what he believed. And it wasn't about the rhetoric. It was about the actual work. And he was going against the odds, you know. So we were able to succeed in 2010. And I believe that that people that have been disenfranchised, you know, the 99%, I think there are people, I think we're changing, I think people are fed up. And I think, you know, I grapple with, I hate city government, I hate politics too. They matter, we gotta influence it because they have a huge impact in our lives, whether we like it or not. And I believe people are seeing that and people wanna change it and people wanna see different people at City Hall. So, you know, getting David elected and then we'll see.
Yeah, I like that. City, local politics matters.
Yeah,
it
definitely,
does.
It does. Yes.
That is the first point, the first place and the closest place that politics will sort of touch everyone's life,
mm-hmm.
is at a local level.
At the local level, yes.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, thank you for stopping by and freezing with me.
Yes.
In what is supposed usually a relatively warm part.
It is warm, but you know what? Here, we always get wind.
Yeah, well, yeah, you're close to the bay.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, under the bridge, I don't know, I just, for some reason, I wasn't anticipating this chilly.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.